From time immemorial, there has been the kiss-off, dumped, parted from, D-I-V-O-R-C-E. In Hell Hath No Fury, writer Anna Holmes collected women's letters from the end of the affair. And just in case you've ever penned a letter that told him where to go, how to get there, and how fast to do it, Holmes found good company. Anne Boleyn, Sylvia Plath, Mary Wollstonecraft. It all began with a certain little story of her own.
I had been dating a young man. Then about 2 months into it, he stood me up. And he not only did it once, but he did it twice. And it was the second time that really set me off. I sent him an email telling him never to get in touch with me again, never call me again, never write me again. It was a very angry email, but I had, you know, I kind of worked on it for maybe an hour or so. And after I emailed it to him, I forwarded it to about 10 women I worked with at Glamour magazine, where I was a staff writer. And it was their response that got me thinking that maybe I was onto something, because they all thought it was hilarious. They found it empowering and inspirational and funny. And it got me to thinking, well, if the 10 women I work with think this about my letter, which was in retrospect and at the time not very good, then perhaps I could find even better letters and that other women would find of interest.
And did they? Here's a letter from French writer Anaïs Nin. Dear Lanny, how blind you are. A woman is jealous only when she's nothing. But I, who am the most loved of all women, what could I be jealous of? Lady Falkland to Lord Byron rings true today. For the last time, Byron, I address you. Human nature can bear much, which has been exemplified by me, but there are boundaries at which it stops. And this letter by the great dancer Isadora Duncan in 1912. Please, if I really bore you, as you say, if you're tired of me, or if there's anyone else, please, dear, tell me now.
Welcome to Housing Works Hughes Book Cafe. Thank you so much for coming.
The other night in Lower Manhattan, Anna Holmes asked several women to read from Hell Hath No Fury. Molly John Fast is the daughter of the feminist writer Erica Jong. Molly read one of her own letters.
It's over. Here's what no longer works for me. The wife. The kids. The drugs, the hookers, the escorts. I know escorts and hookers are the same thing. The drinking my little brother's codeine cough syrup. The chair throwing. Here are the things I will do now that you are no longer in my life. I will make my bed. I will learn to dance. I will not call your house and hang up. Or maybe I will. I will not think of you all the time. I will read only Faye Weldon novels. I will become the girl you dumped me for and then dump you again and again and again and again and again. You get the point. It's over. Self-destruction and nihilism are so passe. So 90s. Goodbye.
Erica Jong, who celebrated women's sexual revolution with her novel Fear of Flying in 1973, read a letter from the great Edith Wharton.
Don't think I am fâché, as you said yesterday, but I am sad and bewildered beyond words. I don't know what you want or what I am. You write to me like a lover, then you treat me like a casual acquaintance. Which are you? What am I? I have had a difficult year, but the pain within my pain, the last turn of the screw, has been the impossibility of knowing what you wanted of me and what you felt for me at a time when it seemed natural that if you had any sincere feeling for me, you should see my need of an equable friendship. I don't say love, because that is not made to order, but the kind of tried tenderness that old friends seek in each other at difficult moments of life. My life was better before I knew you. That is for me the sad conclusion of this sad letter. And it is a bitter thing to say to the one being one has ever loved, d'amour.
Personally, I've always had a passion for Mary Wollstonecraft, the great English feminist and the mother of Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein. Here's a letter from Mary Wollstonecraft to her lover, Gilbert Imlay, an American who abandoned her with their child back in 1796. It's read here by Alison Richards.
It is now finished. Convinced that you have neither regard nor friendship, I disdain to utter a reproach, although I have had reason to think that the forbearance talked of has not been very delicate. It is, however, of no consequence. I have no criterion for morality. and have thought in vain if the sensations which lead you to follow an ankle or step be the sacred foundation of principle and affection. The impetuosity of your senses may have led you to term mere animal desire the source of principle, and it may give zest to some years to come. Whether you will always think so, I shall never know.
Mary Wollstonecraft attempted suicide. She becomes impoverished. She eventually pulls herself out of it. But Anna Holmes, how many of the women, as you did this broad survey of history, really wound up in desperate situations, near suicide, you know, spent?
It seemed that a lot more of the fictional characters, oftentimes they came to more grim ends than the real women, who most often did pick themselves up. We, as humans, when we go through a romantic breakup, have a tendency to think that we're never going to recover. I certainly have felt that way a number of times. And but the ones that I know personally or that I got letters from who are contemporary women are all doing fine. And the historical figures, looking through their biographies, all got their stuff together and went on to find love again and live fulfilling lives.
And therein lies the moral of the story. Life does go on, and how. Just before Anna Holmes took her book to the publisher, she had one of those little moments of serendipity that make you think that the great god Eros is watching.
I took a train to a university here in the New York area to post flyers. I was looking for an intern to help me out with some of the research. And so it was early January. No one was at the school. I walked into the university English department with some flyers explaining my project, and I didn't know where to post them. So I went into the administrative offices, and there was a young man who was sitting turned away from me. And I kind of, you know, said hello, and he turned around, and it ended up being Arthur, the man who I had dated and originally, you know, written the breakup letter that inspired the book, too. And I, of course, was shocked. I had no idea he was working there. When I had been dating him, he'd been working in a hospital nearby. But I had no idea that he had any interest in English departments at universities. And I was quite shocked and left feeling a bit shaken, but actually very happy because I hadn't really thought about him in months, if not years at that point. And I felt like I was getting a sign from somebody that I was doing the right thing in putting together this book.
Anna Holmes, thank you very, very much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
The collection is called Hell Hath No Fury, Women's Letters from the End of the Affair. My favorite, by the way, in the Heartless department, is a two-line letter from Jacqueline Suzanne, author of Valley of the Dolls. Irving, when we were at the Essex House and I had room service and I could buy all my Florence Lustig dresses, I found that I loved you very much. But now that you're in the Army and getting $56 a month, I feel that my love has waned.
Ouch, that hurts. If you have the courage, you can find excerpts of the letters on our website, npr.org.